Would you pray with me, please? May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this Trinity Sunday marks the halfway point of the Christian year. We started in November with Advent, where we waited for the long-expected Messiah. And then at Christmas, we celebrated the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And we listened to his teaching and marveled at his miracles as we walked the dusty roads of Galilee with him during Epiphany. And then during Lent, we walked with him on the way of the cross, a journey which would lead him to the agony of Good Friday, the unspeakable joy of Easter, and the glory of the Ascension. And finally, last week, to Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Christ's people, the Church. During that first half of the year, from Advent to Pentecost, our focus was on the past, what has happened, and how God in Christ has revealed himself to us. And so today, on this first Sunday after Pentecost, the Church throughout the world acknowledges the revelation we have received by celebrating Trinity Sunday, a time when we reflect on the great insight of Christian theology, that the one God is a community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With that great teaching in mind, we are then ready to begin the second half of the Christian year, the season of Trinity, sometimes called the long green season, green for growth, because our focus is on how do we now live? After what we've experienced, what we have seen of God in Christ, what we've experienced of God in the Holy Spirit, all these things, how then do we now live? And that's going to be the focus for the next half of the year. And that revelation of the one God, the one God who is three persons and one substance, is at the heart of who we are as a people, who we are as a people of God. It is often said that if someone comes up with a simple, easy-to-understand description of the Trinity, that it must be heretical. Now, that word means bad theology or inadequate theology. For instance, people will sometimes describe the Trinity, in place of the biblical terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. You've probably heard that. It's often used. And at first hearing, it seems to be a good definition as to what the three persons of the Trinity do. However, a quick look at John's Gospel shows us that the Son, also called the Word, in John chapter 1, was in the world, and that the world was made through him. That's John chapter 1, verse 10. And in John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In other words, to describe the Father as the Creator ignores the clear teaching of Scripture that the Son was also an agent of creation. It also ignores the teaching of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit was also an agent of creation. Remember the passage in Genesis? And the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. And thus a biblical understanding of creation reveals that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all the Creator. In the same way, a biblical understanding of redemption and sanctification reveals that all three of the persons of the Trinity are essential. So we have to be really careful about sort of dividing them up and saying this one does this and the other does the other. Now, one way of describing the functions of the persons of the Trinity, which I think works fairly well, is to describe the Father as the will of God, and to describe the Son as the communication of God, and to describe the Spirit as God's presence within his creation. But I suspect that seems pretty dry and probably a little unsatisfactory to you. And there's a good reason for that. It's because the Scriptures make it clear that the persons of the Trinity are in community with one another. To try and describe the Trinity in terms of function misses out the most important part. And the most important part of the Trinity is that they love each other. That's the most important part. When we look at this morning's gospel reading from John 16, verses 12 through 15, it's not hard to see why this passage has been chosen. It speaks of the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It tells us that the Son has all that belongs to the Father, and it tells us that the Spirit takes what belongs to the Son and declares it to his disciples. You see, it's all about the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this passage from John 16 is like many other passages of Scripture which speak of this amazing triune God. In contemplating such Scriptures, the early church recognized the distinctive revelation of God that has been given to Christians. A distinctive revelation of God which helps us find our identity as the people of God. For when Christians pray, we typically address the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And when we proclaim the good news of God in Christ in a sermon or a proclamation, or when we ask God's blessing on someone else, we often do so in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said earlier that the most important part of the doctrine of the Trinity is that the persons of the Trinity love one another. And this cannot be overemphasized. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we read that famous verse that tells us, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And note that this verse doesn't merely say that God is loving. It tells us that God is love. If God had been a solitary unity, God could not have loved until he had made someone or made something to love. C.S. Lewis writes it this way: love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. And this is where the importance of the Trinity becomes evident. Within the unity of the one God in a community of love, this means that love is part of the very essence of God. In other words, God is love. Because God has loved from all eternity. Within the unity is a triunity of love. And this means that God did not have to create us in order to learn how to love. The reverse is true. God created us and all that there is out of the abundance of his love. He created you and me and everything as a gift of utter and endless love. He didn't learn to love from us. We learned to love from him. All of this explains who this God is, revealed perfectly in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, is. This God is love. And out of his infinite community of love, he invites us to be a part of that community. He created us, and he knows us by name. And he has redeemed us through his cross and resurrection because of love. His goal, his motive, if you like, is to welcome all of us into the endless joy and endless beauty of his love, a love we call the Holy and Blessed Trinity. I have spoken to you in the name of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.